a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. We should go with the we have like 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Yeah, half an hour? I mean, we can, and the pizza's supposed to arrive at
12. At 12?
Yeah, we can continue for the lunch.
Okay, well, we'll see what we could do, and then we'll take, or we'll do whatever. I'll try to finish, you know. This is a very big topic, obviously. I want to think about the tzkios and the brachos. But let's see what we can do. Okay. So there's a very intriguing braisa in the end of my second Rosh Hashanah, the second to last Amud, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says here, Tanabanan Tkio Sein Ma'akvazu Azu, Brachos Sein Ma'akvazu Azu. Tkio Su Brachos, Shor Rosh Hashanah, Shor Yom Kippurim, Ma'akvos. The Gemara says, My Taima, Amar Rav, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Imre Lufanai, Rosh Hashanah, Malchus, Zichronos, Veshofros. Malchios, Kadesh Tam Lichuni Aleichem, Zichronos, Kadesh Yavo Lufanai, Zichronechem. Some Girsos are Zichronos Eichem. Litova, Ubameh, Bishofar. Okay, this is the statement of Rabbah, is really one of my favorite formulations about Rosh Hashanah. What's going on in this Bryce? It's a very strange Bryce, very hard just to read. Again, this isn't Torah Shebichsav, it's Torah Shebalpeh. So there's always the possibility that cryptic language is, you know, intended. You know, for Lefum Tzara Agra, for, saving ink, or for demanding, you know, that things be transmitted, you know, by a Masorah precisely. Those are three different explanations. But I think that, you know, and it could be any of those three, but I always think there's a fourth possibility, and that is that, you know, the ambiguity is intentional, that something is being said here which is very significant. And hence, it's shrouded a little bit in mystery. Okay, so what does it mean? What does this Bryce even mean? So I think that there are two basic questions, or two broad perspectives. There's a lot of details, and each one requires an understanding. Rashi Alatar takes the more ambitious view. Rashi says, "Tkios ubrachos di alma, kagon tainio se makvin zuezu, in birich velo taka." Just a few words, seemingly innocuous. Bali Tosis jumped on it, as did others, because they understood that what Rashi meant here was a bit sensational. The problem is that this price is unclear, and it seems a little bit like the Resha is Sosa the Seifa, right? Because the Resha says that tkios ubracha, I'm sorry, it says tkios sein makvazu zubracha sein makvazu zu, and the sefer says tkios ubracha shor Rosh Hashanah v'shor Yom Kippurim are makvos. So which is it? So Rashi solves the controversy by contrasting Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right, with other times in the year. Specifically, where else do we have brachos and tkios? Tainis. So in a tainis, the brachos and the tkios each are independent of each other. And when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yovel of Yom Kippur, right, there we say that the tkios and the brachos are ma'akvi one the other. That's how Rashi interprets. That is fascinating, but the question is, why is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur different than Tainios if in both cases you have the paradigm of brachos and tkios? Moreover, of the two, certainly the Chiddush is not that typically, you know, the brachos and tkios are not ma'akev each other. On the surface, we would never expect that they would be ma'akev each other, right? How many times do we find that a bracha or an amira, right, is ma'akev a ma'isa mitzvah, right? Very, very rare. If we're talking about brachos, thank you very much. Quite early, right? If we're talking about brachos, are brachos ever ma'akev a ma'isa mitzvah? Almost never. There's an interesting Tosa Rosh in Brachos, and Daf Tezvav, where with regard to Hafrashas Truma, the Tosa Rosh seems to say that if the Chiyuv to say Bracha had been Daraisa, maybe it would have been Ma'akev the Hafrasha. He goes further, actually. There's a bit of a Truma issue there. Tosa Rosh says, if the Bracha had been Daraisa, it would have been Ma'akev, and what you would have would be Tevel. It would have just been Ma'akev the mitzvah of Hafrasha. It would also have been Ma'akev the Tikkun Tevel. And a lot of the Achronim quote, it's a well-known Tosa Rosh, not my discovery. And, boy, it just keeps coming. Thank you very much. What's the best thing to do? Should people just... Okay, so let me just finish this particular point, and then we'll do that. That's a great idea. So, we have to also talk about, Hefsek, between the brachos and the tekiyos. Anyway, so typically, that's a very controversial Tosa. That's a very known Tosa Rosh, precisely because it is so mechudash. But typically, brachos are rarely ma'akev, or amiros are rarely ma'akev, the mitzvah that they're connected to. You can think about, mikra bikurim and bikurim, right, which is a discussion. You can think about, Ramban makes this connection, we talked about it before Pesach, in Sefer Mitzvot, when he talks about Birkas HaTorah. So he says, Birkas HaTorah is Daraisa. Birkas HaTorah is to Torah. What mikra bikurim is to bikurim. What, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to, he says, Korban Pesach, right? A kind of a, I think he means Rabbi Gamliel, so maybe it's even wider. Okay, in none of those three is there an actual ikur, right? La halacha, mikro bikurim is not ma'ake bikur, la reading cases where you're maybe venikore, but even when you can maybe vikore, doesn't seem like it's ma'ake. In the end of the day, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that Rabbi Gamliel Amar Koshal Megimel Dvar Meleyotze Dechavaso. The Rambam says it's a reference to the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban is Perish al Chomos in Brachos, says it refers to the mitzvahs Hayom. That's what she taught some Sefer Mitzvahs. But he says it doesn't mean you're not Yotze. It means you're not Yotze Kihilchasa, which is still a very powerful thing to say, right? Certainly, Birkas HaTorah is not Ma'akev, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So here, according to Rashi, we're being told that unlike Tainios, that's the norm. When it comes to shofar, right, you can't be Yotze without the brachos, meaning Balchios, Sophronos, and Shofros. That's a very, very big chiddush. That's something very novel, very unique. Also, the implication, we'll discuss this, is that it goes in both directions. Meaning without the shofar, there's no value to the Malkiel, Sochronos, and Shofros. Also not a double question. Question is, why would this be true? Okay. That's one problem that Rashi faces. Rashi's interpretation seems also to be accepted by the Ravid. In the end of Paragim Lucha Shofar, the Rambam weighs in on this brisa. I'll tell you what it says in a second. And the Ravid says, that's not what the brisa means. The brisa means that the tekiyos are ma'akev the brachos, and the brachos are ma'akev the tekiyos. End of story. So, the Ravid seems to hold here, like Rashi. There are other problems, I say, with this chita. Tosas in on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis in Rosh Hashanah, very, very, very long Tosas, which hopefully we'll have the chance to talk more about many important things. So towards the end of this massive, complete Amud Tosas, right? I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, but, here it is. Okay, show and tell. In the end, towards the end, Tosas asks a question. Tosas says, and then we're going to take our break in 1 minute. Vim tomra, hanach di yeshiva hechenafik. How can be Yotze, tkios to miyushav, typically you make the bracha of tkiyas shofar, and then you do the kolos. We call that tkiyas demiyusha before masav, right? And it's not in the amida; it's demiyusha. It tells us, why do we do that? Tanya b'sof pirkin tkiyas ubracha shavashon of yom kippur makva zu azu. Quoting this brisa, alma b'idin tslusa by lemevet. That's the question, right? So the Tosis answers, "Lav pirchei." The afag of the mashim mitok pirsha kuntrist and birich v'lo tako tako v'lo birich pirish birich malchias akornos v'shofros. Yefshar lo marchein. The tanya lekaman shtei ayaris bachas token bachas mivarchein. Kishalei lecholech lemakom shtoken veinolech lemakom shemivarchein. Utnan misha birich v'achak tizdam lo shofar. Masha shabalo shofar yachal barech. Ela tkios abrochos makva zuazu, hainu hatkios makva zuazu, vabrochos makva zuazu. Kishim evarech malchus according to the shofar zvarech shlashtan, olivoy loyvarech klau, ain tkios shvarm trua, imbaki bishlashtan itaka, imlav loyitaka. So before we get to Tosis's pshat, which is also interesting, but not as, mechudash as Rashi's, but still plenty mechudash. What else are you going to say in that brisa? Basically, Tosis asks two killer questions against Rashi. Number one, how can the Gemara say Nizdamna lo shofar after the brachos that you do the kolos then, right? Because according to Rashi, without the shofar there are no brachos. And how can the Gemara say on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis that if you have to go either to Mokom Token or Mokom Brachos, right, that you should always go to the Mokom Token and not go to the Mokom Brachos? After all, what do you mean a Mokom Token and a Mokom Brachos? There's no such thing, because each one is Ma'akev the other. Therefore, says Tosis, the real pshat is that Malchus, Achoros, and Shofros are a package, all or nothing, and Tkia, Shvarim, Tkia is a package, all or nothing. But there's an integrity within the brachos, an integrity within the kolos, but the kolos and the brachos, right, are independent. That's the view of Tosis. The question to ask according to Tosis is, it's far less ambitious, but it's still plenty ambitious enough to be a rule breaker. Why should it be? Malchus, Zechoros, and Shofros are different themes about, you know, that are critical on this day. Why should it be all or nothing? You can't say Malchus without Zechoros or Shofros or etc. Why? And where do we find such a thing? These are all valuable themes and motifs. On the Shofar side, it's a little less controversial, except that Mimanavshach. Let me say it this way. If all the Brisa means to say is that there's a shiur and a standard, namely that a tzkiyah alone is nothing, it's not even chatzi shiur. A true alone without a tzkiyah before it is not even chatzi shiur. Right? If that's all they mean to say, there's not a good parallel between the brachos part and the kolos part, frankly. I don't know if anybody asked this question, but it bothers me. If they mean to say something more fundamental, like there's an interesting discussion. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Sugya and Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel, really argue, you know, whether or not Tkiyah, true Tkiyah, are three, or they're a unit. Right, they try big rayas, back and forth. Everybody agrees you need nine kolos, three truos, surrounded by tkiyos. This is what I'm asking. Is there chatzi shir in mitzvos in general? That's a discussion in the Achronim, generally. Of course, it may depend on the particular mitzvah and the particular shir, right? So, if we're talking about, and maybe it depends on that discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, all I'm saying is, if the Braisa means to say that unless you do the three, you've done nothing, because it isn't even chatzi shir, then there's no parallel. That's obvious. That's a shir. If it means until you'd say nine, you're not yotze de chobaska, right? That's also the shir that we know of. The best way to understand and the parallel, to maintain the parallel, would be to say that on some level, there is meaning in a kol, a trua, without being surrounded by tzkios. Probably not in tzkios without truos. Or that they're, unlike Tosa's interpretation, what we mean is you need all nine kolos. If you do six, even if you do tkia, trua, tkia, tkia, trua, tkia, but you didn't do the last one, tkia, trua, tkia, it's make. Even as a kiyu. In other words, what we're saying is, really, conceptually, it should work. Just like you would think malchios alone would be significant, and zachronos alone would be significant, and shofaros alone would be significant. But the Bryce is telling you that, you know, on the level of brachos and on the level of kolos, there's a separate din of all or nothing that defies the normal shiurim and integrity and chatzi shiur issues. Okay. That's not as big a chiddush as saying that the brachos are ma'akev, the kolos and the kolos are ma'akev, the brachos, which we really don't have an analog to, but it is an important chiddush. It's an important statement. Okay. So we need to understand Tosas, and we certainly need to understand Rashi, both the implication of it and the answers of it. Okay, we'll stop here for a second. Right? Okay, getting back to the topic, which is really the same topic. Just yeah, look that way. So basically what we had so far is that there's a Brisa, which is written in a very confusing way, which... either says that the brachos are ma'akev the tkios and the tkios the brachos, which I'm trying to show is, number one, against seemingly some gemaras, but it's also just as a phenomenon is very, very unusual and very ambitious. But it's ambitious in one level if you do everything, and it's really ma'akev if you don't, seemingly. Then there's a less, let's say, ambitious or less maximalist reading of that, but still pretty mechudash, and that is that the brachos are ma'akev each other, and the kolos are ma'akev each other. And that too, as I say, implies a kind of an all or nothing, or, you know, the idea that seems to be that the range and the scope, you know, of each of these, you know, is a factor, according to Rashi and the Ravid. You know, the range and the scope and the interaction between what normally are two different things, brachos and tkios, are an issue. And the question is, why should that be, and how is that consistent or characteristic of Rosh Hashanah and of the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar? I'll highlight just a little bit more regarding the question against Rashi. So just two very interesting comments. Again, all the Achronim try to answer Rashi. The you know, the Yom Trua, which is the, otherwise, you know, usually better known as the Kapos Tmarim. That's the sefer that he wrote on Sukkah. So he suggests that some of these Gemaras maybe are lowly the Hilchasa, or they did the wrong thing. The Orach LaNeir got very, very upset about some of these answers. And he made a very remarkable suggestion, but one which, you know, is also problematic. The suggestion that he made, to answer some of the problems at least, is that maybe Rashi's ikuv is in one direction, not in the other. And he has some diukim, but it runs into other problems. But the direction of the ikuv is what's interesting about it. What he says is that the brachos can always be said independently. That's why the Gemara says that if you made the brachos, and then it's dam nalo shofar, etc. What can't be done is you can't have shofar without the brachos. That's how the Aruch LaNeir reads the Gemaras, and he tries to be medayik in them, and the language of Rashi, and so on. But again, that leaves us with a, you know, even in some respect, a bigger chiddush, and something that needs to be understood. Why is it that shofar requires the brachos? The Shivali Aleket has maybe a bigger chiddush. Some of that Hornim picked up on it, but it's straight out there in the Shibali Aleket. Shibali Aleket's suggestion for Rashi is that the ikuv only applies when it's possible. In other words, if there's an availability of shofar, then shofar is ma'akev the brachos. Otherwise, the brachos can be done separately. That's how he explains, that's how he gets out of the Gemara. There's a makom tokeh and a makom brachos. separately, and there's a case of Nizdamnalo shofar after the brachos, but didn't have the shofar before the brachos. In those situations, you can accomplish the brachos without the shofar. But when the shofar is available, it's ma'akev, the kiyum mitzvah, the brachos, if you choose to separate them. Obviously, the Shibbolei Lekhet is a Rishon. Obviously, that's a very fascinating idea. It's the opposite, in a way, of what we sometimes encounter, the parallel opposite, Kalaroi Labila Ein Bila Ma'keves Kol She'enaroi Labila Bila Ma'keves, right? Which basically, when applied broadly, means that you have to have the potential to do something maximally. You don't have to do it maximally, but you have to have that potential. Here what we're saying is something different. When you have that potential, it's ma'akev, it's the sliding scale model, meaning you have to do the mitzvah, as maximally as you possibly can, and anything short, given the potential, is ma'akev, the opposite of kalaroi labila. We find this idea in other contexts. For example, some of the Rishonim say this about hirur kedibur, and some of them say it about shomea ka'ona. We find two opposite, parallel opposite tendencies. Right, one is to say the equivalent of kolaroi labila, meaning shomea is ka'ona if you can be ona. That's the whole discussion of Rashi and Tosis and Sugin Brachos and Sukkah. if you find yourself in the middle of silent Shemoneh Esrei, when the tzibur is up to kedusha, what should you do? Can you have shemea ka'ona? I also made mchalik between, being a gavra sheneroi or a situation sheneroi. If you can't be medaber, can you be yotzei shemea ka'ona or not? Can you be accomplished hirur kedibur if you're an ilei? Can you have shemea ka'ona if you're an ilei? That's the ritva's discussion in sukkah, and so on. But we also find the opposite, and that is what some Rishonim would say. The Rav Yoh says that Shomea Ka'ona and Hirur Kedin, I think the Raibid says about Hirur Kedibur, that you can only be Yotzei if you don't have a choice. In a way, that's what Shibbolei Lekhet is suggesting for Rashi, but it's one thing when you're talking about stretching a mechanism, like Hirur Kedibur, that's a second-hand Dibur, or a second-hand or a second-rate Shomea. You can only get away with that if that's the best you can do. Here we're talking about something a little bit different, apparently legally the same. That is, there are kolos, there are brachos. If you can't put them together, each one stands on its own. But when you can put them together, right, they're ma'akev, one the other. And he speaks to a certain, ambition in Tekiyas Shofar, which is very remarkable. It needs to be explained. Interestingly, regarding also this, in a way, the Aruch HaNer, by the way, and the Shibbolei Lekhet are a little bit opposite, right? Because mostly what the Shibbolei Lekhet is trying to explain is that shofar, the availability of shofar, is ma'akev brachos. I'm not sure if he also thinks he might, that the capacity to be mevarech b'shas tkiyah shofar is ma'akev tkiyah shofar. I'm not sure. He doesn't say that explicitly. Maybe he means it. Whereas the Aruch HaNer was arguing within Rashi that the brachos are always independent. It's just that the brachos are ma'akev shofar. Anyways, the view of Rashi and the Raibid, in the end of the day, make the focal point of tkiyah shofar bizman seder habrachos much more urgent. There's a question that Tosis asks is in play. Tosis really asks the question, let me give you a little base. How can we make the bracha and be essentially yotzei b'tkios to miyusha when the Braisa says that there's this relationship between brachos and tkios? And that only takes place in the tkios de mumad. So Tosis' answer is, inachinami, and the Braisa doesn't mean that. Right? And the Rambam also, who interprets like Tosis, by the way, that the ikuv is within the brachos and within the kolo, so he doesn't explain what he means so much by that. Tosis limits it to the three. Maybe the Rambam meant the nine. Hard to know. But it's interesting to know that the Rambam doesn't really express on a yachid level any preference for tkiyos de miyusha over tkiyos de ma'umad. And you may argue for, you may argue that for Tosas Lamatzkana there's really no adifus either. Because if that's not what the Braisa means, then, you know, basically the brachos l'chud and the kolos are l'chud. So there's nothing wrong with being yotze bitkios to miyusha. The Rambam only says, and this is important, and some people think that maybe Rashi also agrees with this in part, and that is that maybe there's a difference between yachin and tzibur. And Rambam says that a tzibur, l'chadchila, should hear the shofar al seder abrachos. But when it comes to yachin, there's no difference. And Tosis, maybe there's no difference even for the tzibur. There are those who suggest that, you know, everything Rashi and the Raivid say is only in the context of tzibur. That might be a further limitation, and would explain maybe other things. But okay. It's interesting to note that the Balamor, on the other hand, completely negates what we call Tkiyos Demiyushov. Very famous Balamor. Well, the Balamor argues, Nafyun and the Dapi Arif, that he says, when the Gemara says that, you know, Lama Tokin, you know, Bim Yushav, and so on, the Gemara Naktazayin in Rosh Hashanah, he says, Kedel Arbe, as a Satan, says, that's not what we do, Bismanein. And the Ravid goes ballistic on this, even though I think he agrees with the fundamental point, but he totally disagrees with the history and the what the Balamor says is that Bismanein, we do what we do, because, you know, Rosh Hashanah davening became very long, you know, people who were ill or weak or impatient didn't stick around for Musaf, and consequently, you know, they decided to get Tkiyah Shofar in a little earlier, and that's our historical Tkiyos Demiyushav. But really, really Tkiyos Demiyushav are after Tkiyos Demiumad. It would really Mekayim the mitzvah Tkiyos Demiumad, and then in Chazar Sashat, or afterwards, there would be something else called Tkiyos, you know, Demiyushav, which were La'arve Vesasata. So according to the Balamor, right, the Ikar Tkiyos Shofar really is, you know, Biz Al Seder Abrachos. Even the Rishonim who agreed that the Ikar should be Al Seder Abrachos, so then they get into the whole, how can you possibly make a bracha, a birchas mitzvah in the Miyushav if the Ikar ones are the Al Seder Abrachos? They start comparing it to, you know, the bracha that you make on, you know, on a Yerek, you know, in the Seder, you know, and then you rely on that for Maror. It's an imperfect equation. But in the end of the day, that's kind of the direction, you know, that they are taking, as opposed to maybe Bali Tosas and the Rambam, who would just say, at least on a Yachid level, there's nothing wrong with Tkiyos Demiyushav, and there's nothing wrong with being Yotze Bahem, Lechatchil. It's not like you said the bracha already, but it's really also connecting to later. It's it either goes on both or it goes on the first. Because in other words, part of this debate probably is the extent to which Tkiyos al Seder Abrachos is really such an issue. The Ravid in Hasagos al Arif does say Ushitaso that the brachas al Seder, that the Tkiyos al Seder are the Ikar one, even though it doesn't agree with the Balamor's history. What's fascinating, though, is one of the things that Yotze Midivrei Balamor is the Balamor says that the Birchas HaMitzvah, Tkiyah Shofar, Lishmoa Kol Shofar, whatever the proper bracha should be, the debate among the Rishonim, itself is a product of this history, of the evolution, let's say, of Tkiyos de Miyushav prior to Shmon Esrei, says the Balamor. But really, really, they're never in the classical or optimal, this is fascinating, Tkiyos Shofar, there's no bracha Lishmoa Kol Shofar. The brachos that we refer to are the Seder HaBrachos. They're Malkus, Zechronos, and Shofros. So that's another thing to add to your list, because when Hechon Matzinu, right, you have a Maisa Mitzvah, and you don't have a regular Birchas HaMitzvah. Instead, the brachos are really, you know, something like Malkios, Zechronos, and Shofros. They're not just longer. They're not in the Tzura of a bracha. They're tfilos that accompany the Tkiyah Shofar. But again, on Sukkah, on Lulav, matzah. We always make a birchas mitzvah. According to the Baal Amor, again, some of the Rishonim are very dismissive on this point. Right? That's only once, you know, everybody had to get out of shul early, you know, and they did this tekiyos to miyushav deal. So they created, you know, the next best thing, a bracha katsara. But ideally, there is no birchas mitzvah. There's the sidre habrachos themselves. So, bein lebali tosis ul Rambam, especially according to the Raivin and Rashi, and especially with some of these yeshuvim, what's really going on here? Just to build up a little bit more before we move into it, we should know that Rashi, at least the broader tendency of Rashi, may be l'shitasa. Rashi in his Perush al HaTorah basically weighs in on one of the big controversies, and that is, what does Zichron Trua mean? Just very briefly, I'm sure we've said this many, many years, the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah in a very unusual way, right? Twice, once in Emor and once in Pinchas. Again, in most cases, there are some other exceptions, but you have to take the totality of the presentations. We would expect that there be a description of a day, a designation of a day, and something about the Chetzes Shel Mitzvah and the Maisa Mitzvah, right? Chag HaMatzos, right? Bar of Tochel Matzos, right? Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, it's Vinisim, it's Nafshal Seichel. Again, Shavuos is a whole different story. But essentially, what we would expect in Rosh Hashanah is absent. In Pinchas, we have Yom Trua Yelachem, which is interesting, the day of Trua. Nothing about a shofar, not about a mice and tkia, etc. Okay. Chag HaSukkos, at least about the Chepza here, it's the day of the action with the, or the day of the kol. And of course, Emor, it's Zichron Trua. And that, of course, is a strange usage, the remembrance or the impact or whatever it is, the evocation, the resonance, I don't know, of the shofar. What is that even? It's significant for what it doesn't say in comparison to others. And because it's absent, you know, what we would have expected is absent, so what is there being ambiguous and seemingly, you know, being more peripheral, just, you know, sharpens the question. Like if we were not saying, you know, Yom Tkiyas Shofar or, you know, whatever it is, for something else, it would be one thing. Instead, we substituted in Emor the parsha of the Mo'adim, right? Zichron Trua. And there's a whole discussion about Zichron Trua, which is the usage in Emor in the Nusach HaTfilah, right? Our practices, not to mention it on Shabbos, we don't actually blow. There's a discussion about the relationship. Should it be on Shabbos, or should you still say Yom Trua? What about nighttime when you don't blow? What's the difference between nighttime and Shabbos? You can understand. There would be at least three shitas, you know, in all of this. I'm just trying to point out that Zichron Trua, that loaded term, the Ramban says, I think has a long, long essay trying to explain it. It's a very, Ramban says it's the most difficult term in the Parshas Mo'adim to pin down. Every Mefarish has a different take on it. So no matter what, you always need to explain what Zichron Trua. Why does the Torah use this phrase instead of other phrases, and what's it all about? Rashi, his take is that Zichron Trua refers to Psukei Zichronos V'Shavuos. And the Ramban is very, very bothered by this. Ramban says, number one, what happened to Malchias? Okay. I think the answer to that is that while Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros are a unit, and certainly they're Ma'akev Zeh, according to Baal HaTosis and Rambam, right, that doesn't mean that they are identical. You know, and even the Memra of Rava, right, Hamlichuni Aleichem Kedesha Tavod Zichronosechem Lefanayu Bameh B'Shofar, shows that they have three different functions in a way. We say Melech HaKadosh, right, throughout the Aser Simei Tshuva, we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not as a kel, but as a melech in this period. That's different than the methodology of Zichronos, Kadesh Tavo Zichronosechem Lefanav, right? And the vehicle, Ubameh, B'shofar. So for whatever reason, right, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the discussion of the Mishnah, or is Kedushas Hayom integrated, you know, with Malchios, the idea that Malchios might be treated differently, that it's more and less a Melech HaKadosh, but maybe not referred to Zichron Trua, maybe it's more implicit. To me, I think that is an important facet of Rashi's presentation in this discussion. That's something to lose so much sleep about. The bigger problem is that, number one, Heichan Matsinu, that tefillos like this are Doraisa. The answer is here and there we do find tefillos Doraisa, but it is rare. More important, the Ramban's question is based on the Gemara Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, same one we mentioned before, which is the Gemara says that if you have to choose between a Makom Tokin or a Makom Mevarchin, you should go to the Makom Tokin. Now the problem is because the Gemara says why? The Gemara says Pshita, Tekiyas Doraisa, and Brachos Adrabanan. The Gemara gives an answer. What if you have Safek Tokin and Vadai Mevarchin? Kamash Malan, Safek Doraisa is better than the Vadai Drabanan. So is Ramban. You see from that Gemara that Malchus, Zechornos, and Shofars are only Drabanan. How could the Adin Drabanan be the interpretation of the word Zichron Tru? I'll add, be the interpretation of the only words, of the controversial words, of the words that are instead of the words that we would have, you know, anticipated. So the Ramban rejects Rashi. What do you say for Rashi? So people say different things. That in itself is really interesting, just to track all the different perspectives. The Maral in the Gur Aryeh on Rashi says, Rashi never meant to say that Zichronos and Shofros were Doraisa. He knows the Gemara. What he meant to say is that the Takana Drabanan of Zichronos and Shofros, right, are a Zichron Trua. They're Noveya, right, from the Trua itself. In other words, Trua is a good reason to be Metaken. It's not an Asmachta B'Alma, in other words. It is a way of saying that there's substance to this Takana. And that substance has to do with the very fundamental name. In other words, either way, according to Rashi, even if you blunt the idea that this is Doraisa, what you're saying is there's something very basic about Malchios and Zichronos, maybe, or Shofros and Zichronos, and maybe also Malchios, that really goes to the heart and core of the day of Rosh Hashanah. It isn't stam that we say it, because that's what the Torah, you know, those words in the Torah are the reason that we say it. It's a takana drabanan based on akiyum darais, my words, but that's kind of what he said. Other achronim, the Rav among them, but definitely people said it before him, had a bigger chiddush. They said the way to answer the Gemara is that what the Gemara says is there's a makom token and there's a makom mevarchin. And if you go to the makom mevarchin, even if it's a vadai, it's only drabana. If you go to the makom token, it's at least a safek doraisa. The Gemara never said that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars are drabana. It said Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars are drabanan when it's not connected or conjoined with Tkiya Shofar. But doesn't say anything about what happens in the typical case where everything is done together. So what Rashi means is Zichron Trua. That Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are referred to by the word Zichron because when you do them all together, right, that's all, that turns them all into a Din Doraisa. Of course, that's very mechudash. To say that the presence of Shofar turns the Brachos into a Doraisa. But in a way, it particularly works well with Rashi and the way Rashi might answer the Braisa, right? Particularly according to Shibali Aleket, in a way, right? That the presence of Shofar is Ma'akev the Brachos. Here Rashi's saying a little bit differently, and that is the presence of Shofar makes the Brachos Doraisa. So the question is, why should any of this be true? I think the answer goes to what Zichron Trua is. In other years, we've spoken about the fact that Zichron Trua may relate to the tefillah aspect of shofar, the yavama. I think it's all true. But even if you don't think it qualifies as tefillah, at minimum, zichron trua implies that there's something about tekiyah shofar that requires more than the physical mice of it. There's something about tekiyah shofar. Anybody who has to go for, you know, for Tanakh. Oh, should we bench? Oh, let me speak for another 5 minutes then. Mention that if I want to get in another couple minutes forever, we can stay. Well, we'll try to do that. Think of, well, we have a shoe as a coin. Anybody else? Oh, Avram. Avrami. I don't remember who benched last time.
Oh, yeah. I think I benched everything on that.
That could be. I know, we're always trying to do the comedy.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay, so we'll throw it back to our host.
We have some new ones.
We have some new Kohanim?
Okay,
so one of our new Kohanim. Newly minted Kohanim. Oh, anyways, so the point, let me say the following. At minimum, Zichron Trua means that we don't just measure shofar as a ma'aseh mitzvah. And that the Torah uses the expression Zichron Trua and not speaking about the Chafetz Chaim shofar or the ma'aseh tekiyah in order to convey that point. There are three times that the Gemara uses the expression Zichron Trua in the Bav, or really two and a half. Call it. One is when the Gemara says that mitzvos ain't Trichos Kavana. Mar says in Daf Chav Ches, mitzvos ain't Trichos Kavana. Therefore, tokeh l'shir yotza. Kamar said, well, we know that already, because we said that achilas matzah ayidei kafo parsiim, which is also b'li kavana, that you yotza yidei chavoso b'mitzvos matzah. So the Gemara says, you might have been mechalek between shofar and matzah. Matzah, Torah says, achol matzah v'ka'achal. But when it comes to shofar, zichron trua amar rachman of Oleg. So the Netziv in his Merome Sada says, if you look at Rashi, we know, Rashi says, v'achilas matzah is like chalav barayos, you know, there's a caloric intake, you know, there's physical pleasure. Misasek is not going to work on that. But shofar is not so much, it's an intellectual or an experiential kind of a thing. Says in Netziv, if that's all it means, then what do you need to use the phrase zichron trua for? Says in Netziv, zichron trua means that when it comes to tekiyah shofar, we require kavana and yediyah. You have to, it's a very purposive action. That's what zichron trua means. Not just doing the ma'isa mitzvah, but thinking about it, reflecting on it, thinking about its content, expanding its implications, its consequences, its wider significance. Where the Gemara considers the Hava and the Hava Mina, why it is that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, before they came to the Takana, the Rabbah, the Gzeir Hashem, the Abba Rendu Dalet Amos B'Shis HaRabim, the Gemara originally thought, because our two psukim, Yom Tshur Yelachem, that's when our Shana is called B'chol, and Zichron Trua, right, when it's Shabbos. Yerushalmi may have that even Lamaskan. Rashi there explains, Zichron Trua means that when you can't blow, right, the psukim are a good substitute. Very similar to Rashi. Again, you could have said, oh, it's Xeris HaKasuv. Right, Rashi says more than that. Works very well with the Rashi on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, and the Rashi not so much with the Rashi on Chav Chesed Beis. Another time when the Gemara uses the expression, doesn't focus on the pasuk Zichron Trua, but speaks about Zichron Ayedei Trua, is when the Gemara explains that a shofar, shopara, is excluded. Now the Gemara says, why? Different views. One view is, Ein Kategar Nasa Senega. Just like the Gemara says, just like Big Day Zav cannot be worn by the Kohen Gadol when he goes of Nai Balapnim, Huadin, you know, the shofar shopara. The Gemara says, what do you mean? The Kohen Gadol is always makriv the rest of the year in the Big Day Zav. Says the Gemara, shiny pnim. Avoda is one thing. Avoda's pnim is something else. So the Gemara says, what about shofar? So the Gemara says, well, zechar ha-shofar kipnim dami. That's a very interesting Gemara. In the Bavli, there are only, basically, forget about the brachos cases, but there are basically two cases of mitzvah b'aveira. Right? If we were learning sukkah, we would discuss this extensively. One is lulav, one is karpa. And the Bali Tosas are of the opinion that that's not a coincidence. Because mitzvah b'aveira only applies, as they put it, not the printed Tosas, but Tosas written parents, Tosas shans, and psachim, lamed vav. The Ritva quotes in Sukkah in a few places, and Lamed, and earlier in Daf Yud. Mitzvah Babaveh requires Ritzui. Mitzvah Shal Ritzui. Lulav is a Mitzvah Shal Ritzui. Right? Korban is Ritzui. And one of the formulations of the Ritva in Sukkah, he says, there are only three Ritzuis. Lulav, Korban, Shofar. Clearly, invoking that Gemara about Kaparas Pnim. The Meshech Chachma, when he talks about the Takana, not to have shofar b'Shabbos, says it's really tamua because, you know, it's not just like you could say ones, you know, Rachmana Pad, Chacham said don't do it, because in the end of the day, you don't have your shofar. So you might have a good reason why you didn't, but you don't just need to have a p'tur, like where's the Kiyum shofar? That's beautifully written. And he goes on to explain that the expense of Shabbos, there wouldn't be shofar. But it's a very interesting idea. I mentioned yesterday that the Rajba, when he talks about the Takana of Shabbos, says, well, why isn't that a violation of Bal Tigra? And that many of the Achronim are bothered. What, every time you don't do a mitzvah, b'sheva, al ta'asa, for a particular reason, that's Bal Tigra? And if you're lazy and you stay home, that's Bal Tigra. So is the point in the Rajba that you've legislated it out legally? Or maybe the point has to do with what we were talking about in Shavuos Eidos, which is there are certain mitzvahs that are so defining and urgent that, you know, their like the Meshech Chachma's point, their absence, you know, isn't just something, okay, so there's a justification not doing, you know, this kiyum. It's more than that. Like, how can you have the day without it? And maybe that turns into Bal Tigra, if not for the answer, which is that the Chachamim have a bigger picture in mind, and so on. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that Zichron Trua is this idea that when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar, right, the Kavana, the relationship to the bigger picture of self-appraisal and the idea of Tshuva, not tshuva responding to particulars, because it is responding to particulars, but it's an opportunity in the year. It's the beginning of the year, it's the end of the old year. We're reassessing who we are, what our priorities are, what our values are, what our core and essence is. And part of that is captured by the Kol Shofar for the Rambam's Uri Yashena Mishinaska. And even more to the point, going back to the things we discussed last year, the idea of trua, of yavava, the different kolos of the shofar. So basically, what all this adds up to is that the Torah avoided formulating tkiyah shofar as a typical maisa mitzvah because it wanted to establish that shofar connects in a bigger way to the toelis and the tachlis and to other aspects of that mitzvah. And that expressed itself in numerous ways. One is its connection to the themes of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and to that as a range and a comprehensive range. If you don't have, according to some views, the Brachos Imahem, and it's not simply Birchas HaMitzvah, as the Baal Amor points out, then it's lacking in Zichron Shua, and vice versa. But it also is true, as the Balitosis put it, that Malchios without Zichronos, Zichronos without Malchios, and so on. Rosh Hashanah is about connecting all the diverse themes of the day. And that is true on the Kolos and Shofar level as well. Lore Tkia Ketrua, and there are different types of Trua. And even according to Rav Haigon, who thought that all the Kolos of Trua, Midaraisa, are good enough, last year, I think we tried to point out that Rabbeinu Hananel's version of that is that you still have to focus with integrity on the trua that is going to be the core of the mitzvah. In other words, according to Haigon, you would think that you could have, you know, Yevavos, you could have, you know, Yilula Yalil, you know, for one trua, and Ginuchei Gonach for the other, and the combination for the third. But maybe you could for Haigon. For Ben Hananel, you can't, Midaraisa. In other words, all the kolos are ksheros, not because there's a range and anything within it is a kol, I call it kolos ksheros, the shofar, but because there's a range of legitimate ways, right, to go about the tshuva and the appraisal of Rosh Hashanah. But it needs to be wide-ranging and inclusive, and there's a dynamic between the different components. And therefore, whether it's Tosis's interpretation or Rashi's interpretation of that brisa, what emerges is a very ambitious shofar, which is maximalist, and which includes different kolos, an interaction with different brachos, and different brachos, their interaction with themselves, and kolos as well. And this, I think, is all captured, and with this we conclude, by Rava's comment. Rava said, how do we know that the brachos are ma'akvos, zuazu, on Rosh Hashanah? Because Imru lefanai, Malchus Zichronos v'Shofros, right? And this refers to the brachos and to the tkios, and maybe to the interaction of the brachos and the tkios. Namely, Hamlichuni Aleichem Kedesha Tavo Zichronos Seichem lefanai Ubameh b'Shofar, which in the most ambitious way means because of the fact that Malchus Zichronos and Shofros are different, and that the Kol Shofar can really convey a range of sentiments. Precisely because of that, they're all ma'akev zuazu. Each one provides an opportunity to delve into our potential as Ovdei Hashem, leaving any of these expressions unexplored, right, constitutes something that is totally incompatible with the ambition of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Indeed, a day of Zichron Tshuah. So I wish you all Ksiva Ksima Tova. We'll look forward to getting back to Shavuos on Tzom Gedalia and discussing other topics.